appropriate it and rejoice in it and claim it as yours. We'd like to follow this through on the Tuesday nights as far as we can. If I run out of something to say about that subject, I'll get another subject. And then on Thursday nights, I'd like to take up the four forms of the gospel. What I mean by that is, not in sense of the word preaching the gospel to the unsaved, but teaching the gospel to the Christians in its four distinct forms in the Word of God. And we must distinguish these four forms of the gospel. And we'll be mentioning that on Thursday night. Then on Sunday, of course, we'll be preaching the gospel at the Sunday school. If it's unsaved there, if we preach the gospel there, on Sunday nights, we'll be preaching the gospel. Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, that great book about the church. Some of these things that we pray for are already ours. Before we read, shall we bow in a moment of prayer again? Am I too loud for you? Is this microphone too loud? I still got my country voice from hollering at the mule. I haven't lost it yet. When I plowed a mule for about 10 years, and I don't want to plow no more. I had my say and my due of that. It was good for me, I guess. At least at the time, I didn't like it. Shall we pray? Father, we ask Thee, as we stand in Thy presence, and we know that Thou art present here with us, Thou hast said You be with us. We don't even have to ask Thee to be with us. You promised You'd be with us all the way, even to the end of the age. We know Thou art in our midst. We know we're indwelt by Thy Spirit. So, Father, we come to Thee in dependence upon the Holy Spirit to teach us together. Lord, we do not understand this book apart from the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. He is our teacher. He is the teacher, because He's the one that moved the men to write the words. He is the author of this book, as Thou did by the Spirit inspire men to write down this blessed book, and has preserved it for us down through the ages. Father, we thank Thee that we can rest on its precepts. We can accept and claim its promises. We can expect every prophecy to be fulfilled, and we know it will be. So teach us together now as we study, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now note the words in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Note the word blessed is in the past tense. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And it should be, instead of heavenly places, in the heavenlies, in Christ. Oftentimes we say, Lord, we want You to bless us tonight. And I know what you mean. But if you read the word, we're already been blessed. We've already got all these blessings in Christ. And what we need to do as Christians is to appropriate them and say, Lord, help me to take them in and claim them. If you notice the contrast between Israel's blessings in the Old Testament, Israel's blessings was material blessings. God made people rich financially, made them rich with goods and cattle and so on. Abraham was rich. Job was rich, and so on. You can mention a lot of them. Their riches were the material riches. The contrast, our riches is not materialism. Our riches is spiritual riches in Christ Jesus. And He said here that we've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, excuse me, in heavenly places or in the heavenlies in Christ. Now let's look at some of these blessings that we've already received. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Romans. We want to look at the fact of that we are the children of God, that God is our Father. As we sang a while ago, He cares for us and never fails us. And I want you to note verse 14 in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God or the children of God. Those that are led by the Spirit is evident that they are children of God. Now note something. You don't become a child of God by being led by the Spirit. You are a child of God when you receive Christ. And the reason you are a child of God, you are being led by the Spirit through His Word. You don't become a child of God gradually or progressively. You become a child of God instant at the new birth. Never changes, never alters. And then the Spirit of God lives within us, so we are the children of God. Now, to read on, I like the next verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage or slavery, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God has become our Father. We have become His children, born in His family. And note now, the next verse. And the Spirit Himself, what it should be, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're going to deal with that a little later, but I want you to go with me now. I want to show you from Galatians how we received the Holy Spirit and when we received it. We want to look at the two things, how and when. How did we receive the Holy Spirit? When did we receive the Holy Spirit? Now, these are blessings that we already have. You don't have to ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you already got Him. He lives within you. Did you know, dear child of God, the Holy Spirit is truly God? And each one of us, God indwells our bodies. I don't think we've grasped the fact that we carry God with us all the time. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We don't grieve the Spirit of God away. He ever lives in our bodies. We grieve Him, but He don't grieve Him away. We carry God in our bodies. So the blessing that we have received is that we have become children of God. The Holy Spirit is in us, bearing witness with our spirit that we are His children. And not only that, but that God has become our Father. Now note how we receive the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now note what he says. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? There it is. How did you receive the Spirit? Not by works. Not by feelings. Not by praying. Did you know on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, it says those 120 were together in one place, in one accord. What were they in one accord about? They were not praying for the Spirit to come. They were praying in one accord because they knew the Spirit was coming, waiting for Him, tarrying for Him. And He came as He'd been promised. They claimed the promise. The Spirit of God came that day, that night, and filled them all. Now go down to verse 13 and 14 in this same chapter of Galatians, showing us how we receive the Spirit. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now we always need to read verse 14 with verse 13. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now note the statement, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, don't try to feel the Holy Spirit. You can't feel a spirit. You can feel something that's only tangible. The Holy Spirit cannot be felt in the sense of touch. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Because God says I have. I believe it by faith. I take it on the ground of pure faith that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And I have become a child of God, and the Holy Spirit's bearing witness to that fact. All right. Now, when did we receive the Spirit? Go with me to John 1. John, the book of John, chapter 1. And shall we read a verse or two in this chapter and then over to the third chapter? John 1 and verse 12. Here again, we should never read verse 12 without reading verse 13 in this chapter. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now note something. The next three statements tells us what we're not born of. And you can leave that out and read it like this. Which were born of God. How do we get the Holy Spirit? By being born of God. Go over to the third chapter and tells you what being born of God is. Look at verse 3. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, and answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, and I believe that's the word, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again or born from above. When did we receive the Spirit? The moment you received Christ, he came in to dwell in your body. And he's there. And we, at times, we grieve him, don't we? Now, look at something else. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 16. We want to dwell there just a little bit. Verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you note what it said, it didn't say the Spirit bears witness with my body. It didn't say the Spirit bears witness with my feelings, but with my spirit. So that raises a question. What is man's spirit? We believe that man is a three-part being. He is spirit, soul, and body. Well, what is the spirit of man? What is the soul? We know what the body is. We're living in one. And diseases has affected us, many of us, and will affect us if Jesus doesn't come, and we're going to die from some disease. But what is the spirit of man? All right? The spirit of man is the being that God created. When you go to Genesis, you don't have to turn to it. But in Genesis 2:7, it says that God formed some dust from the ground. He made a form. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. That is his body. He created his body first. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What he breathed into that form of clay on the ground was a spirit being. He created a spirit being and put it in that body, and all the things about this body that God created, he put it all there, and man stood up a full-grown statue of a man, Adam. That spirit is the being that you are. You're living in a body. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What does it mean? It means your person. When you die, you don't die. You don't die. You just move out of your body. It's the body that dies. And you move out of your body, you're to be with the Lord. Who? You. Who? The spirit. The soul. The body's buried. in the resurrection. It'll be resurrected, soul and spirit united to it, in a glorified body. And we'll never be like that forever. Isn't that amazing? We've already got all of that right now. And we anticipate that glorious day when it comes. Now let's look at something else. In Genesis again, in Genesis 1:26, it says God was speaking to the other members of the Trinity. He was speaking to the Lord Jesus and to the Holy Spirit when he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." I want you to note now when God said that. When did he say that? He said that before he ever made man. Well, what was the likeness and the image of God? It wasn't a man image. God is not a man. Jesus Christ was not a man at the time. Holy Spirit was not a man. When God said that, he said to the members of the Trinity, "Let us make man." They're getting ready to do it, getting ready to create man. So what is the image and the likeness that God is talking about? It's not the man, it's not the body. It's a spirit being. Like God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God made us spirit beings. Put that spirit being in a body. If you notice something, when he created Adam's body, he created out of material that was already there being created before, which was the earth. And then he placed in that body a spirit being, likened unto his. Now, we're spirit beings. We're not God. We're not deity. But we are spirit beings. And God is living in us. So we already have a spirit being. And that spirit that we have is going to live forever and forever, either in hell or in heaven. I tell you, it's so precious that you can't take it in. It's so wonderful. Note something else now in verse 17. And if children, and we are, aren't we? Since we're children, and children then heirs. Did you know heirs becomes an heir because they're born into the family? You don't earn an inheritance. You don't become an heir by works. You don't become an heir by buying heirship. You are an heir by birth. I got 5 children. 3 boys and 2 girls. My wife and I, we have made out a little will for the little old mobile home we're living in. What little belongings we have. That if the Lord doesn't come before we die, that when we pass on, the will is read something like this, that this property will be sold and divided equally to the 5 children, the money. If one of the kids wants to buy it and give the other part equal to the other 4, that'll be okay. We've got it fixed that way. So that is, they are an inheriting what we have. But if you notice, there's 5 inherit it. Those are 5 ones that's inheriting something. It's 1/5 of what I have to them. So they are heirs of God. So children are heirs. We're heirs of God right now. Note that verse again. If children, then heirs, and heirs of God. And God, and joint heirs with Christ. What? Joint heirs with Christ. I want you to go with me to John 16, hold your place in Romans, and go with me to John 16. And listen to what the Lord Jesus said. John 16, verses 13 and 15 of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was future at this time, he will guide you into all truth. That's the promise, that he'll guide you. For he shall not speak from himself, is correct rendering. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Now note verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now note the next verse. All things that the Father hath are mine. All things. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now the Holy Spirit shows us that everything the Father has is Christ. He owns it all. You see, he's an heir, and we are joint heir with him. A joint heir shares equally all of it. Now go back to my five children. Supposing you would ask one of them, how much did you inherit from your daddy? And they would say, I inherited it all. You asked another one of the boys, how much did you inherit? I inherited it all. Another one, the same thing. Then the two daughters, the same thing. That can't be. It can't be. You see, a joint heir is different from three or four heirs. A joint heir gets it all. If I had only one son or one daughter, they would get it all. You see what I mean? Christ owns everything. And you and I own it with him complete. Perfect. That's why we say all of our spiritual blessings are in the heavens in Christ, and we need to appropriate them, rejoice in them, and glory in them now. These earthly things that we have are only temporary. And God provides these goodnesses of his, these provisions for us, for temporary living down here. We're not going to take one thing with us. You can put on the best suit of clothes you've got, but it's going to decay with you. Put all the jewelry you want in there, but it may stay there, but it won't do anybody no good. You pour all the money you got in the grave, but it won't do any good. We'll leave everything behind. That's why we shouldn't get our roots so deep in this old earth, in materialism, and be occupied with that only, which could be occupied with the heavenly things, occupied with our Lord, and waiting for his coming. Now look at Ephesians chapter 13, chapter 1, in connection to these all things. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and note these words. Look at verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, and I think the right rendering means, instead of after you believe, but upon believing, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now he's called the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14. The Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or the pledge, or the guarantee, either one of those words is sufficient. And what does it say? The Holy Spirit is the pledge or the guarantee of our inheritance. Until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. What are we? We are the purchased possession of God that took place at Calvary when He redeemed us. We belong to the Lord. We are waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. We've been redeemed, soul and spirit. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. The Holy Spirit is a seal, a guarantee, a pledge until that takes place, and also a pledge of our inheritance we got up there. Don't you call me poor. I'm rich. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about material things. I and you too own everything that Jesus owns. Take it in, dear saints. Don't go around acting like a pauper. Go around talking like a rich person. I'm rich in Christ. We need to rejoice in that. God wants us to. He's given it to us in His Word here. We are heirs of God, joint heirs of God. He has become our Father. That's the most blessed. When you think about father-son relationship, what a precious thing. And God doesn't deal with His people as sinners. Did you know something? We're no longer sinners in Adam. We've been taken out of Adam and put into Christ. And that'll never change. We are saints that sins. I wish we didn't. But I'm not a sinner in the Adam on my road to hell. I've been taken out of that condition and placed in Christ. And nothing can alter that. Demon or devil, hell or nothing can do it. Circumstances, problems, sickness, affliction, whatever, death or nothing else can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What a truth. Dear saints, we need to get into the book and move upon these wonderful promises that God has given us. Now, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the pledge of our inheritance. Let's look at the inheritance a little bit. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter certainly knew something about this, and I'm sure he was rejoicing. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us, that's past tense, again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And note what He's begotten us to? To an inheritance. Note how He describes this inheritance. Incorruptible. Everything we see is corruptible. Everything that surrounds us is corruptible. They tell me that the earth and the planets are deteriorating. Waxing old. And we believe we're living in the last of the last days. I think your dear brother was before me here talked about that. The last of the last days is here on us. Jesus could come tonight. What a day that would be. I would rather Him come tonight than spend the rest of the month with you, because we'd all be in glory with Him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd all be over with. Yes, I'd rather Him come than me to preach, as much as I love to preach His Word. But note now, that inheritance is incorruptible and it's undefiled. Oh, praise God, it won't be corrupt with defilement. Nothing can touch it. Why? And then it said, it fadeth not away. I remember when Man of War Key, Brother Lambert Sands, died 2 or 3 years ago with cancer. He suffered a long time. He had a beautiful home. His wife's still living it, I'm sure. And she had some drapes across the sliding doors. And the sun come up and shine right in. And she finally had to put up some drapes. But before she did, the sun had faded her beautiful blue rug. You could see where it stopped. Was a lighter blue where it's been faded. And I reminded her that the inheritance that we have in heaven will never fade. No change of colors. I believe there'll be colors in heaven. No change of any sort will have fadeth not away. This inheritance is reserved. You see, it's reserved. Where? In heaven, not down here. In heaven, in Christ Jesus. We have all of that right now. So we see then that God has provided all these things for us. Now let me say this. Note the next verse. Who are kept? We who are kept, those that are saved, the inheritance is reserved. It's ours. We don't have to pray for it. It's already mine. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. One with Him. The church is one with Christ. All He has is ours. And that's for eternity. I want you to note that. Read the verse with me, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're being kept by faith, through faith, unto salvation. What salvation? The deliverance of the body. Ready to be revealed. Ready to be unfolded in the last time. Go with me back to Ephesians now, and I want you to see something that thrilled my soul the other day. I was just reading for my own benefit, and this just blessed me so good, I just had to holler out and say, praise the Lord.
Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I believe it is, yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together, again in heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And I want you to note what follows. That in the ages to come, age upon age, the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Someone has said, what will be happening in the ages to come when we've got our glorified body, we're with Him in the new heaven and new earth. God, the Lord Jesus and God the Father is going to be unfolding in ages upon